Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order, 28th of February, 2024, 9 a.m. With me today is Chairman Hoffman, Chairman Olson, Senator Bishop, Senator Merrick, Senator Keel. Senator Wilson will probably arrive here in a few minutes. And Stedman. Today, we're going to, I'm sure we won't overrun, so it'll be this morning. We're going to hear from the Department of Transportation dealing with the statewide transportation improvement program. And that's the program that helps us with federal funds and involves a whole federal process, of which we've had a little hiccup along the way with the new statewide transportation improvement program from FY24 to FY27. That was, the submission was denied by Federal Highways, and we've got an extension, and we're now approaching a deadline, and we're trying to work through this in the budget process. We have asked Department of Transportation to come before the committee and have a conversation here with the status of this, of the transportation plan, to help the committee kind of focus and work through it and for the budgetary process. And we don't know quite what the outcome is going to be, so we want to kind of look at potential outcomes in multitude of directions. But here at the table, Senator Bishop has chaired the capital budget before, and Senator Hoffman is the current chairman of the capital budget. Those watching at home, I do the operating budget. And Senator Olson does legislation. So there'll be probably a series of questions coming from Senator Hoffman and Senator Bishop dealing with that because of their focus on that issue, and also Senator Bishop's on the subcommittee for DOT. So with that, I'd like to invite the commissioner, Mr. Ryan Anderson, if he can come forward. I've asked him just to lay this issue threadbare on the table, so we can take a look at it. We're not here to try to find fault or blame. We're here to try to work through the situation, keep the DOT, help them move in the right direction and get our projects and our infrastructure built around the state and keep our contractors busy. So that, Commissioner Anderson, if you could kind of take us through your presentation, and we'll, if there is questions that could be answered with a later slide, just let us know. We'll just go through a slide at a time and kind of work through the process.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Stedman. And for the record, my name is Ryan Anderson. I'm the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Thank you today to the committee for allowing us to speak on the statewide transportation improvement program. There has been a lot of interest and attention on this program, with the recent events that have occurred. And I do want everyone to just know that, you know, since the February 9th findings letter that we received, it's been 7 days a week. You know, we're working the hours to make sure we're getting these things all resolved. As the Department of Transportation, we recognize the importance of the construction program, the project delivery program, and the statewide transportation improvement program, you know, contributes to all of that and is an integral part. So we take this very seriously, and we are, you know, we're putting the attention into this right now that we need to be doing. So I wanted to just talk briefly about what is the statewide transportation improvement program for folks. This is a requirement when we expend Federal Highway Administration or Federal Transportation Administration funds. It's something where it's a four-year plan where we're required to basically schedule out in a planning document our projected obligations for this one between in the federal fiscal years of 2024 and 2027. It includes all of our highway projects that are federally funded. It includes our Alaska Marine Highway System projects that are Federal Highway funded or Federal Transit Administration funded. This is a document that we'll talk more about, but it's required to be fiscally constrained. So it takes into account the funding, the revenue forecasts that what we're projecting over the next 4 years. And we also do have other projects in it that the state considers of regional, statewide significance. So there is some flex there where we have other projects in it as well. This is something we've done for quite some time to have a document, you know, that projects out, and it's our standard requirement.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Before we
Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Anderson, before you move off to slide 3, you had mentioned ever since the February 9th, I believe it was, notification, you've been working 7 days a week. Inside that 7 days a week, have you incorporated more staff, bringing all assets to bear to get this in a timely fashion? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop. Yeah, we do have some slides on that further, but I will say yes. I mean, we are bringing resources across the state. These are folks like the regional directors and their staff are integral into how we develop the statewide transportation improvement program. We have our folks that are working on data modernization and making sure that, you know, our systems are strong. And as we go forward, we have our planning and programming staff that are tracking and making sure that all of these pieces are meeting the requirements. It really is an integrated a team right now. I think at this point, we're up to close to 30 people. I think when we added up, though, because we had some discussions about experience levels, we had about over 300 years of experience at DOT that's been working on this thing. And it's really, we're putting the time and the effort into this.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead and continue.
So one thing just briefly on how the STIP does impact projects on the street, our construction program. This is something that over the past weeks has been a topic of, you know, how does this work in our overall program? A couple of things, you know, at this point in the game, we are still operating under a 2020 to 2023 STIP extension until March 31st, 2024. And so that's our deadline to have an approved new STIP. That we continue to obligate projects under the extension. I think this year we're up to close to $200 million in obligations. We have a lot of carryover projects from last year where we had projects that were obligated last year that will go into this year. And right now our current estimates are approximately $350 million. That's out there. That's approved obligated funds. And then on the street right now, we have over $100 million of projects advertising for the summer. When it comes to the STIP, how it works in our world, in the federal highway world, we obligate projects by phase. And so every phase requires an approval by the Federal Highway Administration. The Federal Transit Administration as well has requires the obligations listed. So when we start a project in design, there's a phase. It's called a phase two. And that's, we have to get a federal highway approval. It has to be in the STIP to obligate that new design start. When we have a right-of-way start, when we're going to start acquiring right-of-way for projects, we have a phase that has to be approved, and the dollars that are going to be attributed to that phase have to be obligated, and it has to be in the STIP. When we go into construction phase, we'll have a phase in the STIP. It'll have an estimate associated with it, and that estimate, you know, that's what we use as the basis to obligate the dollars to move forward with the construction in the STIP. So every sequence when it comes, you know, within the Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, the STIP is required to show the projects that are going to be obligated in the year as a planning document.
Could you help us a little bit with the first bullet here on the March 31st deadline? Does that not include the 30-day review from Federal Highways, or can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Absolutely, Senator. The STIP extension until March 31st is the deadline for an approved STIP. So our deadline at DOT is Friday, March 1st is what the Federal Highway Administration has told us, to have our STIP, our completed STIP, our resubmittal into the Federal Highway Administration so that they have a 30-day window to meet the March 31st, 2024 deadline.
Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the listening audience, I would like to convey the importance of this issue and the fact that it's my understanding that we're the only state this year that has been asked for a resubmittal. And I think that is a drastic step by the federal government. And I'm wondering, you say you are working 7 days a week. I guess for the listening audience, how important is this resubmittal to the state of Alaska and us getting it right so that all of the services or the product that we will be getting as a state, we will actually receive. It's hard to downplay the importance of this program and the request by the department, by the federal government for a resubmittal. That, I think, is very, very important for the listening audience. This is no trivial matter.
So in answering that question, maybe before you get to the last part of his question, if you help a little bit with the first part is about the normal submissions. You know, has there been numerous extensions in the past or rejections in the past? How common or uncommon is the issue we're dealing with? And then maybe then follow into the last part of Senator Hoffman's question.
Yeah, Chair Stedman and through the chair to Senator Hoffman, that in the past, we did go back through and look at the 2020 to 2023 STIP. And at the end of that STIP, DOT did receive findings. What the federal government had done is given us recommendations. So they weren't corrective actions as we received this time. And some of the recommendations were similar to what we found this time in our corrective actions. The overall, I guess, thought on submittals and how these things work, I do have a timeline for this specific effort that we will go through. But typically, there's a time period where, you know, the state goes through and builds their new STIP. And then there's a review, there's the public notice, there's work with the MPOs, there's the work with the federal government on the reviews, and then there's a submittal. And that's, in general, that's the process we followed this time. I think there was, we'll go into the details on this one in particular. I will say, in regards to other states, there's new ways that other states are doing STIPs, we're finding. And I have some information at the end of this presentation where they're actually doing a rolling STIP. So they don't wait for the end of the 4 years to do their STIPs. Some states do a new STIP every year. Some do it every 2 years so that you always have an active STIP. And I've got to think that states are moving to that so they don't get into this problem that we're in right now.
But isn't this rather uncommon? Is to the point, my understanding, this is very rare.
Yeah, that would be my understanding too. We haven't taken the time to reach out to all the states to do that research at this point because we're focused on our problem. But yeah, that's my understanding is this is rare.
Senator Hoffman, does that answer the question?
Yes, it does.
Senator Bishop.
I just want to put a little bit finer point on it from a monetary question. Have you modeled any worst case, middle case, best case scenarios on cash flow if we get a partial conditional STIP? I know we've got about $200 million obligated for this year. And have you modeled any cash flow scenarios, how far that could get us this year with the projects that we have outstanding? You know, we're just we're here trying to help you, but we're also trying to plan for the worst case scenarios as well. And Senator Stedman can say it a lot better than I can or Hoffman, but we are the finance table. And we've got a, I don't have to stress to you the importance of not having the cash flow and what it would do impact the construction industry in the state. So, have you done any modeling?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop, we have no specific modeling. I think that will be something once we get this STIP that we're going to get approved, submitted to Fed Highways. Those would be next steps for us over the next 30 days. The one thing I would say to that is our typical awards over a year is approximately $750 million. If you look at the last 2 years, two contractors, and then we would add the 10 to 15%, you know, for our administration and construction costs. So we could look at how much we've obligated this year and how much we've awarded and use that as a number to look at this upcoming construction season and where we would be at in terms of a model.
Thank you. Follow up?
Yeah, follow up.
I've always thrown DOT kudos at this table on the August redistribution. And I've always said that I think Alaska's DOT is the best at garnering that August redistribution. Can you explain to us, for to me at least, hypothetically, if we get a, you know, and it is a hypothetical, it's hard to answer, but would we lose if we get a conditional approval and other states be able to come in and sweep money from Alaska under the August redistribution?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop. Yeah, I think if we aren't able to expend all of our apportionments, that could be a possibility. I do think that is a true statement. In that regards, I think right now we're positioned in terms of our project delivery to do well again this year, provided we have an approved STIP. But I think that's a correct statement.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
So we would like to run the committee through the 2024 to 2027 STIP, the timeline, the overview, to give you a sense of, you know, okay, at DOT, how we looked at this and how kind of the STIP chronologically progressed over this, well, since December 21, really. As you see on the slide, the work started. We had a platform we called E-STIP. That was to take what was our STIP. If you looked at the 2020 to 2023 STIP, it really was a series of spreadsheets is what it was. And we wanted to move this into something more interactive, something more less administrative burdensome, and something that could really work not only better for the public, but also better for our employees to have interactions with the STIP and keep it updated and have a solid system. This work on the E-STIP, it went for a good 12 to 16 months, and we got into May this past year in 2023, and it became apparent that this E-STIP platform had problems. One of the problems, and a primary problem we found, were that the numbers weren't adding up. We had some certifications where we had staff and others go in and test it, and it was apparent that system wasn't accurate for our needs. I mean, at that point, there were statements made that it could be fixed, other ways that we could handle the E-STIP. But at that point, you know, I was brought in and we made a decision that we need to, when we're looking at May 2023 and end of the fiscal year of October 1, 2023, we have limited time. And we needed to find a solution that we thought was going to work. So we pivoted at that point. We moved to a new platform that we were comfortable with. It's the one that everyone saw on the public notice. It's really an open source platform that has good functionality. It's expandable. And that's the decision point, you know, that where we changed course. Between that and July, we basically took the old STIP that had been worked on in eSTIP for those 15, 16 months and created a new STIP in this new platform. And that was a chunk of work for our staff. And again, at that point in May, we did expand the team. And that was a critical juncture for us to make sure that, you know, we could make our deadlines that we were trying to achieve. In July 2023, the draft STIP opened for public comments, July 20th, and that was when it went out for a 45-day public review. During that time, let me run through a little more broadly here. From July to November then, really we had the public review on September 3rd. In November, we submitted the new revised draft. So we got through the public notice. We got a lot of comments, and I was going to go through the comments today on a later slide. And then we went and had to go through those comments, plus a fair amount of consultation with FHWA to submit a revised draft in November. As we went and through that part, we had more consultations with FHWA between November and January. We got asked to submit another draft in January. But really, when we got into January and we were going through these consultations with FHWA, we felt like we had to submit formally because we needed to get formal comments on a document. All the consultations were meetings in person. We hadn't done a lot of formal writing on those consultations. And so on January 11th, we submitted a submittal, but really we said January 19th in order to make the days line out and to make sure that if we had an adverse finding, we would still have time to fix it. And so that was when we formally submitted on January 19th. From there, we went through the review process with FHWA, which is really FHWA reviewing the document. And then on February 12th, we had the formal finding.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in the spirit of transparency, I would like to request the projects that are obligated under the extension, listing the projects of close to $200 million obligated this year, the carry forward of specific projects estimated to be $350 million, and the projects over $100 million in projects currently being advertised for this summer, if you could get that to the committee to find out where they are in this state so that the people of Alaska know which projects are in which category and what the state is doing on their behalf. But to my question, in May of 2023, the decision point, DOT moved to a new platform. Can you describe the new platform and why we moved to that new platform? And is this part of the reason that we're in this predicament with the Federal Highway Administration?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, if it's all right, I could go to the next slide because it'll have answers, some of the answers to your questions. So the eSTIP, some of the hope for it was it's cloud-based, a modern tool that both DOT, the MPOs, could also use, so we start getting some consistency in our plans across the state, improve functionalities, and so when we pivoted, we really wanted those were the overarching things we were looking for, and so we were looking for a platform that we could rely on accuracy, but also still had these capabilities, and so that's the one that we pivoted to. It's called Airtable. And it's really a platform that can build it however you want. Now, the one thing I do like about this platform that I will say is that we're building this ourselves. It's not an outside contractor that's providing us a system that then when there's problems, you know, we're reliant on a contractor. This is our staff. These are our people that are building the system and understanding it. And so far, it has performed well. Any problems with FHWA are really more related to how they're interpreting information that what they receive is a document that's produced from the system. They can go in like the public and have interactions with the system to do queries and searches and extract information like the public can. But when we submit the STIP, it's a document. It's an electronic PDF and a hard copy.
But was not the STIP oversubscribed?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, yes. And that is, I have more on that further in the presentation.
And then do you have coming a layout of projects that have been removed or reordered or so the committee can see what projects were adjusted for the response to federal highways and then what projects now might be impacted with the submission coming March 1st. Do we have that?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, we can provide that, absolutely. I don't have that with me, but that will be a product with our final submission.
Okay. We got Senator Hoffman with a follow-up and Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Commissioner, regarding the new platform, as everyone knows in the state, we have three components. Northern, you get the picture, has had what participation or involvement or changes by the different regions were there in the development of the new platform?
And before you answer that, I think it's for the public at home, there's Northern, Central, and Coastal region, along with a region for Fairbanks and a region for Anchorage.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Hoffman, this is one of the parts that I really get excited about the new platform. What we're doing is providing training, and we're providing resources so all regions, we can all start working on the same page when it comes to how we're documenting our project estimates, our project scopes, and our schedules. And so what we've done with this effort is we've built a companion that's part of this platform where now our staff in the regions, our project managers, our directors, to the point that our directors are involved, are monitoring the estimates, the schedules, and providing input into one common platform, and that information then is part of the STIP.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I would ask that the department come forward with the regional directors, and if the rest of the committee doesn't want to participate, I would like to have them come forward as well, because I think they play an important role in this whole process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, under this new platform that you're developing and moving forward with, hypothetically, I looked at some of the projects that Federal Highways denied in the resubmittal back to you. And in one project in particular, I noticed was denied because there was no public comment. So was the public comment, can the public comment electronically? And it was a glitch in the system, or are you on this public comment process? Is it supposed to be a public meeting in a community? So can you expound on that?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop, I'm not recalling what specific project that may have been. I
can, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead and clarify.
Manly Hot Springs Bridge across the slough, and the comment was no interaction with the tribe.
Yep, through the chair, Senator Bishop. The yeah, that particular one, I would have to go look back into the on the tribal projects. The one thing we were told was that we have to incorporate them into our STIP by reference, and we don't list them in our STIP. And so that was our understanding from what the direction from Federal Highways in the letters was really. And that applied to not only the Tribal Transportation Program projects, because the Manley Bridge was a great success for us. That was one where the tribe and the state worked together to fund the bridge across the Manley Slough. We were proud of that, and there was a lot of discussions with the tribes to make that happen. So that was one. My understanding was it's the change that how we're supposed to do things with incorporating by reference. The Western Federal Lands Program is another one that we're not supposed to list those projects, where many of these are those Federal Land Access Program grants that we've listed in the past. And then, of course, the MPOs was a big one for us, that we're not supposed to list the MPO projects in our STIP. Those are the ones I'm familiar with.
And the acronym NPO?
Thank you, Senator. The Metropolitan Planning Organizations.
And that is Anchorage and Fairbanks?
Anchorage, Fairbanks, and now the Mat-Su Valley.
Mat-Su, okay. Don't want to forget Mat-Su. Senator Wilson will remind us. Any other questions on this slide?
Okay. Okay, a little bit more on the decision point in May, just to give a little bit more insight into that area. So again, this is where the commissioner's office did have more involvement, and we did expand the team. And that was, you know, we have that ability in the commissioner's office, I've learned, that we can pull in resources from all over the state. And that's a powerful thing for us at DOT. So again, 30-person DOT multidisciplinary team. And I think this is what's important on this slide, is really when we're building a STIP, there's so many different disciplines involved, at least in how we're looking at it now, where it is the regions and that whole piece. They're the experts when it comes to project delivery. When it comes to engagement, we pulled in our communications director and really made that push, you know, that we want to do a really good job with public engagement. On the fiscal constraint side, our program management and administration group, we pulled them in because we wanted to make sure not only the STIP itself, the projects were balanced and made sense from the project delivery standpoint, but also from our capital budget, our state capital budgeting standpoint. So we wanted to make sure that that effort was there. And then, of course, the programming and planning piece. And so really, this is what it was, you know, from May on, this is where our focus was. With this new Airtable, and we've talked a bit about this already, but open source platform, that means it's cloud-based, you can have multiple users. We try to make it as intuitive as you can with the world that we live in Federal Highways and Federal Transit Administration. Making sure there's no glitches. That's a big one. The new tools for the public that were an output of this, access to all of our tables, the willing to extract information in formats that you're interested in. We have dashboard capabilities, and some of those you'll see where we're able to now show projects by election district or projects by borough. Those are all easy things where it's just a click of a button now. The workflows on these things, we're establishing workflows so we can really start having a better sequencing with all of these different discipline groups that provide input into it. And then, you know, the staff piece is important. Not only was it a benefit for the public to have more transparency and to be able to see into and extract information, but now we have this ability to help us with project delivery, track cost increases, which is going to be really important for us in the upcoming year, and then also make sure we're accounting for legislative authority.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Bishop.
Commissioner, I want to go back to my question on the page before, but you don't have to turn back there. My question was, and maybe you answered and I didn't hear you, is the public comment now all online or is it in a public setting?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, you know, thank you. I did miss that. The public comment for this was a combination. So we had an online portal where people could send comments to. We had outreach in multiple, you know, we went with all the different, the newspapers and the radio, all the different types of outreach, social media, all of those platforms. People could comment. We received comments by letters, written letters. We had the electronic comments where people would go to the DOT site and put in their comments. And then we did have several public meetings on it. But to be totally honest, we didn't have a lot of participation in our public, our in-person public meetings. The participation was really online, electronic.
Thank you.
Slide number 8, I think, is part of this response.
Yeah, and here we go. Thank you, Senator. So again, yeah, covering publications, statewide newspapers. We had a mailer that went out, the public meeting, the targeted outreach. You know, that was one thing that we've done that's different in the past. We really, you know, reaching out to those folks, the transportation stakeholders that have a lot of interest, although what we're finding is Alaskans in general have a huge interest in transportation. We had direct emails to cities, boroughs, and tribes, direct email to transportation-related NGOs, non-governmental organizations for NGO, direct contact with underserved communities, the municipal planning organizations, and then we did do the Joint House and Senate Transportation Committee presentation during that 45-day public notice. And then again, for mass communications, we had the press releases, social media, and then the radio public service announcements to rural Alaska as well.
There's one of your crew there, Mr. Commissioner. It's phone beeping, but you'll have to razz him after the meeting.
All right, well done. So then the next slide is really the consultations after the public notice. And that this is really where we started getting into the details of, you know, what we had to do once we got through this. Now, the first thing, once the public notice, the 45-day public notice was done, we really, you know, we had over 1,200 comments from the public, which the last step, I think we had less than 30. And so that was something that surprised us, that much interest out there. When we looked at those comments, you know, a lot of them were project focused. I think around 350 were on the West Sitna Access Project. I think the next big focus area for the public was the Manh Choh and the projects that were on the Alaska Richardson Steese highways. That was a big focus. And then we had a series of other, you know, the Anchorage area roads, Fairbanks area roads, Kenai area roads, Southeast Alaska area roads, a lot of interest in those areas as well. And so that was the first challenge for us on, you know, we have to get through that as a next step on the public comments. That triggered us to realize, you know, as we're sitting there in September 4th and knowing October 1 is coming quickly, to request the 180-day extension on the STIP. The amount of comments from the public, we recognize that's going to be a bit of a task to work through. And so then, so that's when we went through that. You can see on here, then in August and then into December, we had several MPO consultations. We had them in Fairbanks, we had them in Anchorage. We met with the new Matsu Valley MPO. We also had multiple consultations with FHWA during this time period. We had September 4th to November. That was the resolution of the 1,200 public comments. We also had in November a request for an updated STIP draft, and so we provided that. January 11th was the additional draft, and then to the Federal Highway Administration, and then January 18th was the decision to submit. So that's just another sense of the time.
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under mass communications, I wonder if I can get a copy of your radio PSAs to rural Alaska and the additional mass communications that the department may have had with the rural areas of the state. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Slide number 10.
Okay. This is really the slide on the resolution of public comments, and so you can get a sense of where the comments were, how many individuals versus we have legislative, we have local governments and tribes, and then non-governmental organizations commenting. We are able to, with our new platform, to see how many are Alaska-based, how many may be out-of-state comments. So that's through zip codes. People put zip codes in the system. And so we have some more metrics on that. This is.
Mayor Keel.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, let me start with an ignorant question. When we talk about the STIP itself, we're talking about that 413-page thing on your website. Is that the thing we're talking about, or is there more to it?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel, that's the STIP document, and then there's a supplement to that that is all the public engagement, which is about 1,100 pages of a document that's also on the website.
Well, what?
I ask on this comments thing because you mentioned the transportation hearing and the legislative comments, and at that joint hearing, I think I asked about tribal transportation plans, when I look in the 413-page thing, doesn't say they're adopted by reference. It says they exist and we're compliant with them. And then you've got a finding about tribal transportation improvement plans not being included. So when we talk about resolving all the comments, what does that mean?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel. Yeah, tribal transportation program, transportation improvement programs, their TIPs, are a requirement that we have to adopt by reference. So what we're doing right now, what we have been doing since the findings letter, is making sure we have that tracked down, and we do, and that document, which is a multiple hundred page document, will be incorporated by reference into the STIP submittal that we'll submit. So it's really, it'll be all the tribal transportation program projects that their TIP identifies. It'll be included. We'll have a link, and so you'll be able to download it once this new STIP submittal is completed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's 400 and some odd pages, so maybe if the department could get back. I searched on tribe. I searched on tribal. The computer couldn't find the adoption by reference. So if someone could just let me know where I've missed it, that would be helpful.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I know you, and I know you've got a book that you're taking the lessons learned with this new program, hopefully to incorporate them. And so next year, that's by January when the budget's introduced, we're not even having this conversation again. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, absolutely, that's correct.
Second question, follow-up, Mr. Chairman. I'm an old school guy, and I just go, the previous STIPs were built from individual spreadsheets, and I appreciate you're trying to save time and move into the next generation of applications, submittals, to make it streamline and maybe hopefully cut down staff time. But be that as it may, the old process, there was typically between, I'm going to pick a number, from 0 to 50 on the comments. And today we're, and you had mentioned the previous tip, there was 30, and now we've got 1,200 plus. Have you had a chance to dive into what is driving this factor of 10 growth on comments?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop. Well, one thing I like to think is we have a fantastic communications team that is targeting areas now for that maximum involvement. I think, that's we're able to do things now with the way people are commenting and tracking where the interest of Alaskans are, which I think is beneficial to the department. The other thing, too, I think, though, nowadays electronically, as we saw with this submittal or with the public comment period, when it's social media and it's a click and you can get to a place where it's easy to provide a comment, I think that's a key that's going on, in this scenario that we were in here. It really it really was just a product of, we got the information out there. People had an easy way to enter in their comments, and they provided us a lot of good comments, I will say.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Anderson, I guess one of the questions I have is at the top of page 10 there's a project comment about 1200, which talked about 36% was on the West Susitna Road that was going on there. And I was wondering if you had information as to whether the 36% were in favor, what the breakdown was of those people that called in and commented on it. Was it in favor of it or not in favor of it? And here's the reason I bring it up. And if you don't have the answer, I'd like to have that sent to my office, because the reason I brought it up is because it was one of the big things that came into, and I'm not even from that district. I'm way out west. But it was the people were concerned about what was going on with that road that was going on the offshoot up toward, essentially toward Rainy Pass. And so do you have an idea on what the comments were, whether they were positive, negative, or neutral?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator, there was the majority of comments, I would say, were against. I could go that far, and we can get you the exact numbers of the breaks down between positive and negatives, or before and opposing. But we did have a lot of support. There were a fair amount of comments that from Alaskans, you know, with the comments that, hey, we need access to Alaska's resources, Alaska's areas for recreation, Alaska's, you know, all of these things that are out there because of the lack of roads in Alaska. So there was a fair amount of comments from that. And we did get support from several native corporations, and others. So I think it's really a mix. There's definitely some opposition to that project for sure.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Then we'll go to Senator Wilson.
I guess the reason I bring that up is because with that amount of discord against the project, are you still planning on going forward with it? And to tell the truth, my information was that the native corporations that were out there were not in favor of it. They were significantly, you know, had some strong words against that, as well as the people that were had other interests out there in it, and that there was no, I could find no significant reports that showed that there was any way of any kind of resource extraction out there that was going to be commercially viable. Could you comment on that, please?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Olson. So the comment we received from the Federal Highway Administration on the West Susitna Access Project was regarding not having a bridge in the scope. And that was when that comment was written, I believe what it said is access to lands for recreational purposes across the Susitna River. And so, you know, I think at the time folks felt that was implied. So we do intend to continue with that project. We'll make the changes that the Federal Highway Administration asked for. In 2016, DOT did do a reconnaissance study, and it's available. You can search online, Alaska DOT West Susitna Access Recon Study, and there's a lot of good information there about the potential benefits for a road such as that. These are things like agriculture, forestry. It addresses mineral extraction. It addresses energy, not only coal, but
no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to add additional comments for the West Susitna. That is supported by the Mattsu Borough, correct?
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, yes, that's correct.
And do we know from the comments that were against or for, were most of those from residents, non-residents, people who are in the area in support, and they can provide that back, and I think that's probably going to be another hearing, Mr. Chair.
They can get back to us on the comments. Yeah. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question was very different on that one. I'm familiar with a 400 and some odd million dollar project that includes that bridge, but it's in the STIP as a $73 million project. There's a crossing project here in my district that has municipal support and a congressional appropriation and all the rest. That's listed as its maximum conceivable project cost at, I think, 270 some million. How was the decision made to treat those so differently, listing one at a fraction of its total cost and the other at its total cost?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel. For the West Asitna project, yeah, I mean, we all recognize there's been a lot of work done in the past for a, I think it's around 110-mile road that goes out to the west. When we looked at it, really the premise of the project you see in the STIP is the difference is it's a public road. And when we looked at the public road, what was a logical place that a road to that area to get you across that West Asitna to open up that area for Alaskans, for the public, and what would that look like? This one, we're focused on a frontier road style, which helps us bring down the costs a lot. And what that is it's a basic gravel road. We've done this in other places. The area, you know, when we look at the work that's been done out there, and there has been a lot of work to help us with these estimates, the material sites are close. We have information on the river crossing site. And there's also an ending point across the river where the Matsu Borough has subdivisions that are open for people to have cabins or whatnot out there. So that's really the purpose of this road. It's a public road for Alaskans to access those lands west of the Susitna River.
And then back on the tribal road program, do you have any idea what the dollar amounts we're looking at there? And if not, maybe get back to us on in more detail on the regions of the state and the dollars.
Yeah, Chair Stedman, absolutely. We will get that information to you. It's a thick document we found. So, yeah, well, I don't have that today.
Yeah, we're good at sorting databases, so we're not scared of that stuff. Move on to slide 11.
Okay. So this is just a slide to talk about some of the challenges we faced as we went through. We got through the public notice, and now we're working through the STIP in that time period. As we work towards our formal submittal. One of the big challenges we faced was being over $3 billion over-programmed. That was where, a culmination of projects that kept slipping and then the inflationary environment that we're in. We had some big projects, legacy projects. I mean, for example, Cooper Landing Bypass, where cost estimates were skyrocketing on us, and really trying to look at the STIP from a perspective of we know we have to maintain healthy contracting communities. We know that there are needs out there that we have to get addressed. And how do we make these decisions when, we have this $3 billion that we have to move to the right? That was a big challenge. What we found as we worked through this, a lot of our project estimates and our schedules really needed to be a focus. And that's where the regional directors came in. And, we've really hammered out some things to take a hard look at those. We had legacy projects. We want to get those done. There's those projects that have been around for 20 years. I mean, those are things we need to get done. And so we try to stay up, keep focused on those as well. But some of our challenges, there's been some new interpretations of some of the federal laws and regulations, we feel, that this STIP is different. We're having to do some things differently than the last one. One of the big things was on fiscal constraint. In past STIPs, we were able to over-program. And so that meant we could add an additional 30% to account for that expected project delivery delays. Typically, you get to do a project, you're trying to acquire a right-of-way, it doesn't go as quick as you would like. We need to take that extra time to care for people. And so projects move, to the next year. That we had an over-programming element that we were able to, in the past, account for that. We're now constraining every year to the revenue that's being forecasted. One of the new things that really was different for us was on the NHS routes, our National Highway System routes, that go through the metropolitan planning organizations. In the past, the projects that, our national highway system, our interstate route projects, they are listed in our statewide transportation improvement program. One of the corrective actions from the Federal Highway Administration is that we're not to list those in our statewide and transportation improvement program. They are to be listed in the individual metropolitan planning organizations' transportation improvement programs. This is one that I think at this point with Federal Highway Administration, we still have work to do, and we've agreed to make some of these changes that they've asked. But also, once this STIP is approved, we will move forward on resolving this conflict. And really what it comes down to is, I like to use the example of, let's say we have a load coming from Kenai going to the North Slope. That truck, that vehicle is going to go through three metropolitan planning areas that could have three different ways they look at how a road should be planned. And we believe that, you know, the state needs to maintain consistency on our national highway system routes, and that we really need to keep that, front focus. So that was a big one for us, and that's something that, you know, since the February 9th letter, we've really been hammering out. The other big challenge that's in front of us for STIP amendments, once the STIP is approved, and we have to go back and amend it or do a modification. Some of the flexibilities we've had in the past are being taken away. And so one of the big ones is when we're in a situation, so we bid a job and it comes in over estimate. The engineer's estimate is less for a $10 million job, it would be 20%. So if the bid comes over 20%, we used to have the flexibility to go ahead and award that, and then we would make the modifications in our STIP internally to make sure we keep that project moving. What we're being told through the corrective actions is now we will have to do a STIP amendment for that. That also includes changes in the field. So we get into a change condition in the field, a change order, and if it's over 20% of the cost of the project, then we're into a STIP amendment scenario. STIP amendments typically in the past, they've taken anywhere from 3 months to 9 months. Obviously, we're looking at our STIP amendment internal procedures to see how quickly we're able to get those things done in the future.
Okay, we have Senator Hoffman and Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Under new challenges, you list fiscal constraints and over-programming. Can you give the committee some more specifics on what that entails?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. Yeah, so this would be in any one year, if we have in a certain, we have to do it by a fund type. So we have different programs, National Highway Performance Program, the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program. We get apportioned a certain amount of money in each program. So for example, let's say in the National Highway Performance Program, we receive $400 million a year that can be applied to national highway system projects. Our projects are bound that we have to obligate that year. That's the amount of money. So in the past, we may have had $600 million worth of National Highway Program projects available. And then if a $100 million project, a big project, let's say, slipped to the right, we would still be able to obligate our full amount. Now we'll have the exact amount of projects. We'll have $400 million of projects in 2024, for example. If one of those projects slips, we'll have to look to future years to see if there's another project potentially available to pull in, but we wouldn't have that flexibility where it's just that simple.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I didn't quite follow the comments about the metropolitan planning organizations. In part, it sounded like there was an issue to do with how their projects are listed, incorporated by reference, listed out, et cetera. But you also said there were difficulties or concerns about the content or the designs of their standards. Which is our conflict with the federal government? Is it about how we're listing projects in a metropolitan planning area, or is it about whether we agree on the size, scope, and shape of the projects?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, there's some legal aspects to this, and I was going to ask if we could bring up Sean Lynch from our Department of Law. He's our lead transportation attorney, and he could speak to this question, I think.
Okay, Mr. Lynch, are you online? Are you in here?
He's right here.
There he is. Okay. Commissioner's done good. You're the first, maybe even the last lifeline.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Sean Lynch. I'm the Chief Attorney, Assistant Attorney General, Transportation Section, DOT's Council. So, through the chair, Senator Keel, if I federal highways concern with the way the MPOs were listed, or certainly how they are listed, and potentially how they're designed. So one of the issues that we had that Commissioner Anderson addressed earlier was through these discussions, Federal Highways hasn't really stated their concerns in writing. They, you know, they have said this is inadequate, and we've had many, many meetings explaining the way this has been done. Basically the institutional culture for both agencies, you know, STIPs are prepared, STIPs are offered, STIPs are approved. There is a change, and so where we are right now is what Commissioner Anderson said. We are resubmitting the STIP this week. That is tier one of the federal planning finding. Tier two is within 6 months, or the First Amendment, we will create policies and procedures for the creation of the STIP, STIP amendments, all of the coordination with the MPOs. So I can tell you how, before this STIP, how things were, just rough generalization, if it's a DOT MPF led project, it's in our STIP. DOT MPF delivers the projects for the MPOs. They select, you know, and DOT designs and delivers. They were always in the STIP. Same with tribal transportation projects, the federal land access projects that we, the DOT delivered, were in the STIP. That is what has been changed. In fact, the projects that were listed to be removed are projects that we traditionally would have in the STIP, and the instruction is for all those classes of projects, the federal land access projects, which is, well, federal land access projects, tribal transportation projects, and the NPO projects are to be outside the STIP and incorporated by reference. So that is the corrective action DOT has done, and is preparing that resubmission now. So I hope that that should address your first question of how they're listed and the details of how we go forward. There's certainly not a meeting of the minds, but we have 6 months to work through this. I'm sure we will. This will be an agreement between FTA, Federal Transit Administration, Federal Highways, the state, the MPOs. Yes, so the details we will work out within our deadline, the next amendment, or no later than 6 months.
Do you have a follow-up?
I do, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you. That's helpful. To a basically a layman on this, I thought the cooperative approach and the splitting of influence on how we design stuff and how we decide what happens in a city or a borough was pretty settled, right? The 60s created the MPOs, the 80s they got a tweak, but generally I thought we had a pretty settled way of working that out. Do we no longer have that? Is that going to hold us up here for a while, or something? What changed in how we work out what projects go on that list and what they look like?
I can't really address what changed. There was, I guess from DOT's perspective, it was submitted a STIP as we always do, and it was, reported back as problematic, and we tried to fix it, and so we are where we are. But your original, you know, the conception of how this is the MPOs develop projects, that is correct. The MPOs have an allocation of funds. They have, you know, projects in the metropolitan area they would like developed. The DOT has people working with the MPO. They both have planners that, you know, work together. Those are, you know, the traffic projections, traffic figures. If we use the National Highway System example, which would be a state facility, if we have a bottleneck and need increased capacity on an off-ramp, that off-ramp's going into, if it's in a metropolitan area, into the MPO boundary, that additional traffic has to be absorbed and distributed. And so that's the coordination with the MPO and the state. So that part is the, I figure that we are somewhat breaking into new ground. We don't have a statement from, I have not been able to figure out a clear statement of what exactly is changed, but I figure, you know, there's a set of laws and a set of regulations. I think we can work through it and figure out what the new way of business is.
That's fine. So Cooper Landing, can you give us a rundown on Cooper Landing, what the original projection was, what the current projection is, how you submitted into the original STIP, how you plan on resubmitting it into this revised STIP? That's one of the more significant capital projects that may impact the work at the table, huh?
Yeah. Chair Stedman, for the record, Ryan Anderson, DOT. The Cooper Landing bypass project, yes, I think it was, and I'm gonna make some guess, some rough approximations here. 2017, 2016, I believe the estimates at that time for that bypass project were in the range of $350 million. Since then, we've seen the, you know, an incremental increase over the years on that project for the estimated cost, until I think it was this past year, the overall cost, overall project cost, including, you know, construction and all the associated administrative costs, I think we were pushing $850 to $900 million. That's something that we've been looking very hard at. And this is, and just to put that in context, you know, the National Highway Performance Program, which is where those funds would come from, I mean, in a year, we're between $400 and $500 million. So that project is quickly becoming almost 2 years of our entire NHS-funded program. How we've been managing that project did start several years ago. At this point, I believe if you look at the investments that we've made and the obligations that we've made, well, we're up to about $450 million. Again, that's approximation. And that really, where that gets us is we've done, if you drive out there, you see that we've pioneered the road in. There's been a lot of work done just getting to the bridge site and preparing us for that Juneau Creek Bridge, which is going to be one of the bigger bridges in the state when we're done. And we've actually went ahead and funded that bridge. The latest estimates for time I've seen on that bridge project is it's going to take 3 to 4 years to construct. There's a lot with bridges right now with supply chains and delays and these things. And so that really puts us into 2027 before, or even 2028, before, you know, that piece of the project is completed. So what we've done and what you will see and what we did in our last STIP and what we'll do, you'll see in the revised submittal, is we're pushing that, the rest of that project completion out until 2028, 2029, with the caveat that If we do have success in things like August redistribution, if we do have success, so we're going to be aggressive about discretionary grant opportunities, that we could continue to work on funding that. But the other thing we've asked the design team to really take a hard look at is all the extras on that project. What we found was that project goes through predominantly U.S. Forest Service lands. And there's a lot of mitigation requirements. I believe that add up to well over $100 million. And these are additional waysides. There's an interchange piece that became a requirement. And so we're in a lot of, you know, a good, it's they're good elements of work, but what we would like to see is that road opened up as soon as possible. And so one thing we've asked the design team to look at is, hey, how about taking a look at the cost estimate from the perspective of we get the bridge in, we get the road so people can drive on it, and then subsequently we're working on the waysides, we're working on these other mitigation pieces that we've committed to, but that are in addition to, you know, getting the safety aspects and those pieces of the road together.
Okay, so let me put a finer point on it. The concern that many committee members have is that if we were to have to include the entire project, $850 million, in this current STIP submission, we'd have to take out a significant number of other projects, maybe $400, $450 million or some number. So where is that? I mean, that's what we're really, purpose of this meeting is to really drill down into the STIP and the dollars in it and the timing of the dollars versus the, you know, the project itself, which is important, but we're really struggling here with a pre-meeting on the capital budget and how we're going to have to put these things together and or restructure to help DOT solve what some issue that may be delivered by Federal Highways to keep our projects moving.
Yeah, Chair Stedman, at this point in the STIP, there you won't see any planned expenditures for obligations, I should say, for Cooper Landing between 2024 and 2027.
So the way I interpret that, then that's coming out of the STIP to be dealt with in the either through an amendment in the future and or a new STIP in 27-28, is that?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, that's correct.
Okay. And then is there any other major projects that are going to have similar treatment that you're going to, because you're going to bring us the list, but is there any off the top of your head that you can think of that are possibly going to be pulled out to grease the wheels with Federal Highways so that they authorize the STIP submittal on the 1st of March?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, particular projects, yeah, we can definitely bring forward the list. I will say it's across the board. I think there's projects that have been pushed on the parks, on the Richardson, on the Sterling. There's really in Anchorage, I know the Seward Highway O'Malley to Diamond at one point was $110, $120 million job. But the other thing we're doing right now, and this is important, is we're asking our folks, what we did up north for quite some time was when we saw that a project was going to be $110, $150 million job, hey, can we break that up into logical segments so that we can be bidding jobs that are $40, $50 million that provide a quick benefit to the public because we can fit them in the program? And a lot of times it's less of a construction impact to the public because it's a shorter segment. So we're looking at a lot of that. And so you will see where the projects are still in there, but there's one phase of it versus the whole thing.
So we'll go to questions here in just a minute. I want to finish this. So I think it would be very helpful for the subcommittee, DOT subcommittee, which will be firing up here pretty soon, and dealing with the capital budget, also for the capital budget chairman, to have those lists put together for us. So the subcommittee for the operational cost of DOT, and then the subcommittee, the capital budget chairman, Senator Hoffman. So when he makes recommendations to the full committee, he has a good view of all the projects that were in and are now out or may come in another submission or an amendment or what have you. We want to drill down into those type of dollars and timing. We'll go to Senator Hoffman and Senator Wilson and Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you covered it, but I think it's critical that the information. Are there any specific projects in your resubmittal that are going to affect the governor's current list on the STIP, to your knowledge?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Hoffman. Yeah, let me get you the list on that one so I don't speak out of turn. We're still making some revisions, you know, to make sure we're balanced on it. So we'll provide the list.
And when can I expect that? Because you only have, what, 2 more days before it's so finalized?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman.
One more day unless you plan on working on Saturday.
Yeah.
It seems like, are you saying it's still really fluid?
The chair, Senator Hoffman, no, it's not really fluid. We've actually been having some conversations. We had conversations with Fed Highways on Monday, and we had some correspondence yesterday that we're working just to make sure we've got everything absolutely pinned down.
And the final question I have is that once this is submitted, it's going to go through another 30-day public hearing process. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman. No, it goes straight to the Federal Highway Administration, and it's their review and approval.
Or 30 days, correct?
Or 30 days. Yeah.
And what happens if the department has substantial changes? The general public of Alaska is frozen out of that process and the changes, and does not have the opportunity to comment. Is that what you're telling me?
The chair, Senator Hoffman. So we had the 45 day public comment period. You know, we responded to that. I would say DOT always takes comments. I don't think there's ever been a time when, you know, we haven't tried to be responsive to the public on things. But in this process that we're in, there's not another public comment period before the STIP's approved.
But you'll accept them. That's what you're saying.
Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wilson and Senator Bishop.
Thank you. Commissioner, you mentioned that, you know, you like to break up things in different tranches to try to get them broken down. And some of that break up into tranches, local municipalities, including mine, Matt's Borough, have offered up ownership, maintenance, matching funds, and maintenance of those roads. Are any of those projects that you've had those partnerships now at risk of sort of deteriorating and not being able to finish on time because of loss of projects?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Wilson. With the fiscal constraint, things have moved around a bit, and so that's true. I wouldn't have a specific list for you, but I would say there are some impacts across the board on all projects from that perspective.
Okay. And
Senator Bishop, you have a follow-up?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks. And some of that is concerning, Mr. Chair, just because last session. We have roads that were funded in state funding projects, and against sort of advisement of others in the building, we went ahead and moved those projects to STIP funded projects. I want to make sure that, you know, we're given these promises and assurances that these projects are going to keep going forward. And I just want to know how DOT is going to keep their word to local municipalities and to the stakeholders and the public that weighed into public concern and comments that about these projects. A lot of them are safety issues, and how we're going to keep going these projects going forward and not lose momentum and ground and lose construction seasons that are going to go forth.
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Wilson, I would say the primary impacts are on the national highway system routes. That's where we've seen the biggest cost increases on the municipality roads and things that are funded through our other funding sources. I think what you'll see in the STIP is that there are less impacts on those areas. And we do recognize the work that's been done with the municipalities and the partnerships and the ability for us to get these important projects done. And I think you'll see that reflected in the next STIP revision as well.
Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to get this question. I was gonna save it to the end, but I didn't know if the Attorney General was gonna go back to the back bench while he was here. But Commissioner, and you can defer this if you can't answer it, but if the state, God forbid, would have to step in with some GF dollars for an interim, I've been told, but I haven't seen it in writing, that if we did, and then the federal funding did come after approval, that the Treasury would be made whole with these federal dollars. Have you asked that question, and have you seen that in writing?
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, I have not asked that question. What I do know about the federal highway process is expenses are eligible after we get those obligation approvals. So I do believe that if that was a scenario, we could be made whole after we received our authorities from Federal Highways for the expenses after we received those authorities. Anything prior to that, I believe, would be on the state.
Okay. Follow up?
Yeah, we could dive into that further in the subcommittee. I know Fed Highways is listening to this conversation here at the table probably today. So if you're listening, could you answer that question? Thank you.
So on the subcommittee process, let's try to dispense with a lot of the flowery slides this year and concentrate basically on the STIP and the cash flow of our projects. Mm-hmm. We had the flowery stuff last year. I think this year, way we can show things. We've got some bigger issues than normal this year.
Sure.
Okay, we'll go to the next slide, I guess. Just a second, Senator Wilson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And also, just wondering, do we need to come up with a definition of consultation and coordination for your department in terms of making sure that we're all on the same page, that local municipalities, tribes understand the difference and what that all entails, and the Federal Highway Administration, so we can all speak the same language?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Wilson, that is the next part of the presentation. And this is a part, if it's okay with the committee, we would just run through the Tier 1 findings very quickly, just to give you a sense of what are these areas where we need to be focused and then how we're moving forward.
And before you get into that, I see that just looking ahead and I'm watching the clock, we're doing fine on time, but there's Tier 1, but we have Tier 2 and Tier 3 also.
Yes.
So when you're done presenting this slide, maybe before questions, you can touch on the Tier 2 and Tier 3, or it's kind of be up to you if you want to answer questions on this slide, and then before the next slide, hit on 2 and 3.
Thank you, Chairman. So just real briefly on Tier 1, because I believe we've talked through these in general. The Tier 1, which is, these are the things that we have to complete before our submittal this week, before we've covered it. The first one was really all about the metropolitan planning organizations. And this is this discussion about projects being in the transportation improvement programs versus being in the statewide transportation improvement program. So we've agreed to take the projects out of the STIP that the Federal Highway has requested, with the understanding that over the next 6 months under the Tier 2 findings, we're going to be having a big focus on how, as a state of Alaska, we're going to work with that and work with our metropolitan planning organizations. The Tier 2 finding was about project groupings. And this is really a finding that we've tried to really push to in Alaska to have projects. One of our big successes is a grouping called Pavement and Bridge, where we can go out and quickly identify projects. The funding, we have an allocation every year, and we pull individual projects out of that allocation and we go complete them. They had various comments about our groupings. They were listed in an appendix. And so we've gone through and we feel we've resolved all those conflicts at this point. Finding number 3 was on fiscal constraint. And that's again on the programming by the years. But also, they also had a fair amount of comments about the operations and maintenance of the transportation system and how the state looks at that for the future, how we invest not only our federal funds, but also our state funds. And so we've been going through a process on that, and we feel like we have a good handle on what they've asked for on that as well. Corrective action number 4 was the STIP amendment and modifications, and this is the one we discussed that talks about when we have a change order, when we have a bid that comes in over, really they told us we don't get an exception to the threshold rules, which you can see on the screen is the block from the procedures in the STIP. And that's where it says for a total project cost, for example, at the bottom of $10 million, it's an administrative modification, which is something that the department can approve if the cost increase is greater than 10%. or less than 20%. But once we go over 20%, we're into that STIP amendment framework. And that's the 3 month plus process that we've experienced in the past. And then the finding number five on tier one was really about the Fairbanks and the conformity freeze. And that, you know, the conformity freeze happened on January 4th. So this is relatively new for us. And they had some particular information regarding the conformity freeze that they wanted us to add. And they also, you know, we reiterated that there's a process now when a project, if there's a project that the state or the MPO feels like it could be exempt from the conformity freeze because it doesn't add to the air quality problem, we can bring that project forward through this process. They called it a Fairbanks North Star Borough Intergovernmental Agency process, and we can try to get projects exempted and back into the respective TIP or STIP through that process. And so we're actually going through that process right now with several projects to make sure that we can keep things on track there. So that was finding number five, and that was really the five findings under tier one that we address with this next submittal.
So I see that I jumped ahead of two slides down here at tier two and three, so we'll just wait for those comments. Questions on slide number 12. One of the things you haven't touched on is advanced construction. That's another concern of the committee in the subcommittee, and it seems to have several years ago there was some concern that we had 215 million in advanced construction, and it was a significant amount of money, but my understanding now is that's creeped up to maybe double that. Could you kind of help the committee a little bit understand advanced construction and why, if we were concerned at 250, why we shouldn't be more concerned at 500?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, that is something we've been focused on. It was mentioned in these findings as something that the Federal Highway Administration wanted to make sure was real clear in our statewide transportation improvement program. The numbers, so advanced construction is a tool. We've been using it, I know, since at least I have numbers from 2010. And really what it allows us to do is if we're in a situation where we have a project that's ready to go, but let's say it's funded in a subsequent year. So we have a construction project in a 2024 and it's funded in 2025 and we recognize there's benefits to getting it started early. We can advance construct. We can come to an agreement to start that project with the agreement from the Federal Highway Administration that they will reimburse us in that year that it's listed. So we take it on, we get the project started, and then we get reimbursed at a later date when we choose to convert those advanced construct funds. So that's the basic premise of it. I think when you look in 2010, I did get the numbers on this. We were at about $190 million in our carryover for advanced construction. When we look at 2023, 2024, we have been hovering around $500 million. I think if you looked at it today, we're around $450 million. So it's something that, you know, is a constant churn in our finance group, you know, just as we're constantly converting those expenses as we go. And so it's a tool for us. It's been a successful tool. It helps us if we have those projects that are ready to go. If we have projects that slip, you know, we can actually convert funds early. And so we can kind of care for things that way as well, in terms of how we manage the overall balances and cash flow of our project delivery system.
And then from a policy perspective, should there be bookends put on that as far as dollars that we should, you know, be targeting in advanced construction? Because it seems to be a slow migration upward with no real policy discussion, at least from this table, on, you know, what and how we should handle what is advanced construction and how should we handle it, and or give recommendations to DOT on a cap or what have you. And then second part of the question would be, is it how far in advance could the advanced construction go? You had mentioned looking out like a year, bringing one forward or bringing one back, I should say. How much flexibility does the department have in how far out they reach into the future?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, in regards to the flexibility, there is a lot of flexibility in how we want to plan for the conversions in the future. That is a good thing about Advanced Construct. I think we welcome more conversations about that cap and where we want to be as a state. I think from a department perspective and looking at other states, we definitely don't want to go over 1 year's worth of apportionments. I think that's a good general statement, just for the fact that, you know, we always have that, you know, 1 year out that we can balance to. So that's how we've been thinking it. At this point, you know, we feel like $450 million, $500 million really is a good cap for the department. And that's from our internal discussions. But we're definitely open to more discussions about that issue.
Well, I'm sure we'd take the recommendations seriously from the department. And then how many years out in advance can you pull stuff back? That was the second part of the question.
Oh, yeah, Chair Stedman, I don't believe there's a rule as to how far out you can go. I believe there's flexibility there.
Okay. We have questions on slide 12. Senator Merrig, did I skip you at all today? Or okay.
My question was answered. Thank you.
Okay, good. Just don't want to make sure I don't miss anybody. And we'll go on to 13.
Okay, I think we've covered the majority on this slide, so I was just going to bypass this one and go to the next slide.
Does anybody have any questions on it? So he goes off to explain to us toll credits and the concern of toll credits on page 14 when he goes through page 14.
Okay. This slide is really gets to the tier 2 and 3 and the areas that we're going to be focused on subsequent to the STIP revised submittal and over the next 6 months. And so within the tier 2 aspects of the planning findings, what Federal Highways laid out was that, and they say the following federal actions must be resolved prior to Fed Highway and FTA approval of the first STIP amendment or within 6 months of FHWA and FTA approval of the STIP, whichever comes first. So these are things over the next 6 months you'll see us very focused on. One of the big areas is revolves around the metropolitan planning organizations and this idea of the interested party, the public involvement, and the consultations. And one thing we've committed to is a new DOT policy, really getting at what Senator Keel, you were referencing of that coordination, that we have policies in place so it's well understood both with DOT and the MPOs. This is how it works, and this is what we're going to all commit to. The other piece that we're going to have to work on is how we manage the STIP in coordination with these TIPs within the MPOs and the consistency. I think one of the things Federal Highways is looking at is, you know, are the numbers in the various MPOs TIPs aligned with what is in the statewide transportation improvement program for the state? And so that's another big piece of it. And we're also going to be seeing more and more, and we're going to get focused on performance targets, meaning pavement and bridge. And we have a good record of meeting our performance targets, but with the MPOs as well, we're all required to maintain those records and make sure we have a plan for moving forward. The other thing you're going to see from DOT is really a dedicated team focused on the metropolitan planning organizations. In the past, how it's worked is we have different regions with staff that are working with those, and we'll continue with that, but we're going to set up a construct so they're all working together, not only with the MPOs, but all of the DOT coordinators for the different MPOs are working closely together so they see across the board all the MPOs how things are working and how we're doing things. We're going to be tackling the state of Alaska, as Mr. Lynch referenced, this planning authority conflict and how we want that to work in terms of what projects, you know, end up being in the STIP and what projects are in MPOs, transportation improvement programs. And then there were findings. AMATS had a certification review, and that's listed under Tier 2. I think it's finding number 7. and they haven't resolved their certification review findings yet. And so that's been included in our finding letter to make sure those get resolved.
And that concludes slide 14. And then maybe before we go to Senator Bishop's question, you can touch on toll credits because they got the Marine Highway vessel sitting there floating not on the rocks, which is good. And we want it off not on the financial rocks. So can you help us with the concern that Federal Highways has on the toll credits and what we should be thinking about as we go into the subcommittee process of dealing with the Marine Highway and DOT on trying to cash flow the organization?
Yeah, Chair Stedman. For toll credits, really with their STIP comments, their concerns were more about how we were showing toll credits on projects in the terminology we were using. And so, you know, we've actually looked at Washington State because they do this and they have a format that they use. And it's really just how you describe the use of a toll credit, because it's not federal funds, it's a credit for federal funds. And that really was what the resolution on that regarding the STIP would be. And they had the caveat that right now they are reviewing our plan for use of toll credits, and so we're waiting for that to be approved.
And that approval, is it in the same time frame as the STIP, or is it under a different time frame? I'm just thinking of the budget process we're struggling with here.
Yeah, Chair Stedman, there isn't a 30-day or any type of time frame that we're aware of on that review. I do feel like they'll be responsive. They've been responsive for us on these things so far.
Yes, it would be helpful if they were, because we, you know, we want a smooth budget flow through the year for the Marine Highway without any more glitches than necessary. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, how do you feel about the Tier 2 actions? Are they achievable in your mind within that six-month window? Think you can get there?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Bishop. I mean, yeah, we're going to get there. It's going to take some resources. This is something we have to focus on. I think there's a lot of work to do. That we recognize that this is more than just about the STIP. This is the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, the Transportation Improvement Programs. They're going to need amendments to their plans as well. And so we're going to all be working hard together on those things. But yeah, we do feel it's achievable. It's just going to take some resources.
Thank you.
And that resource you're talking about, is it going to impact the operating budget? Is there going to be any additional requests or concerns that DOT has to make sure they have the manpower to respond?
Yeah, Chair Stedman, that's a really good question. We've been so focused on getting the STIP completed. I think when it came to Tier 2, we haven't sat down and really looked at the resourcing on it. From my perspective, it will be internally resourced, because those are the folks that have the knowledge and the experience and have been working through this over the past few months, and that's what we have to have. It would just be the other areas that, you know, we constantly move things around, and we don't want something else to get neglected, so we would have to look hard at that.
Okay, so in your subcommittee presentation, maybe the department can address that, and if we need any contingency language or contingency maneuverability or what have you, we want to do what we can to make sure DOT is successful in wrestling with Federal Highway and getting our projects on the street. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the constituents that I represent, can you address what, if anything, may be impacted by the Federal Aviation Program?
Through the chair, Senator, this is separate from the aviation program. So that's a separate funding program. We don't have those projects in the STIP. It's its own project list. And so we don't anticipate any impacts at this time.
I'm glad that's exactly what they need to hear. Thank you.
We'll have other challenges in Rockland, personally. Any other questions on this slide? I'm going to slide 15, I guess.
Okay, and this is really wrapping it up. So we're looking hard for solutions moving forward so we don't end up in this situation again. That's something we have to do. And we haven't discussed this with Federal Highway Administration at this time, but we have done research on other states. And really this idea of a rolling STIP, that you have a four-year STIP, but you know Washington State does a new one every year. Texas does one every 2 years. But really all you do is you keep rolling. So you know, if we, let's say, for example, we chose to do a every 2 year new STIP, you know, the 2027 STIP in 2026, we're working our new one. And then once it's approved, it'll be a 2026 to 2028 STIP. And that's really, we see as that's a really good idea other states have had. And, you know, we want to pursue that. And that allows you that flexibility so you're not in the time crunch that we're in right now.
Senator Wilson.
Thank you. What's your percentage of completion to meet the Friday deadline? Are we at 90, 95, 80?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Wilson, at least 90. We're going through that with a fine tooth comb, every piece of it. I mean, we have a lot of correspondence from the Fed Highway Administration that we've been going back and forth on. But, you know, we're positioned well for submittal. We're just going to make sure. We're going to have a lot of different people looking at it over the next 2 days for those final looks to make sure we've got everything covered.
Thank you. Okay. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm not familiar with these other states' rolling STIPs. I mean, I guess what you described sounds a lot like what we've done. We get a four-year plan approved, and the minute it's approved, we start the First Amendment. The minute that's approved, we start the Second Amendment. And we get the flexibility there. I guess my initial thought is that doesn't bring us hard up against where we are today quite so often. So if we try and reauthorize a two-year plan every other year, doesn't that bring us hard up against where we are today more frequently?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Keel, good question. It doesn't, because your STIP is still good for 2 years. In this situation, we had to get a STIP extension because our STIP only went to 2023. But if we decide we want to do a new STIP in 2026 that will take us to 2028, our STIP is still good till the end of 2027. So we still have a STIP, and it takes away that uncertainty and that, you know, that you can't obligate projects. You can still obligate and proceed forward under your STIP that's in place.
It's a four-year plan every second year.
Yes.
Other questions for the commissioner? Final comments for the commissioner, from the commissioner.
Good luck. Yeah. Chair Stedman, committee, thanks for the opportunity and the questions today. Yeah, we recognize this is not an ideal situation, and again, we take it very seriously. 100% focused on getting this done and getting it done right and making the changes in the future so we don't have this problem again.
We're going to have a brief at ease before we let you out of the hot journal. We're at ease. I have one more question just for clarity. Trustee staff brought it up, which is good to have backup. So we do this amendment that's hopefully finalized in 30 days, end of March, and then we have 6 months go by, and we have the other process completed. Are you going to fully expense the STIP, or are you going to leave some room in it for 6 months out when there's other adjustments in the metropolitan planning area or anything? Or how does that STIP process work?
Yeah, Chair Stedman. So let me think how to say this correctly. So we get the new STIP approved, and now we're fully you know, for the 2024 year all the way through 2027, we're fully able to obligate to the projects that are listed in the STIP. As we go through this amendment, this is where we'll be going back and forth with the Federal Highway Administration on how we're supposed to manage those funds that are dedicated to the national highway system. And I believe that's what you're getting at. And that's the part I think we've got some important projects that are currently listed. They're currently listed in the transportation improvement programs. And we're going to have to understand, what they're asking us to do is obligate our funds to those TIPs, or, you know, will they be listed in our statewide transportation improvement program? And there will be some flex there, so we have that ability to make sure that those projects are made whole in the future. It may have to be through an amendment. We don't have that answer yet. That's something we'll have to work through in the next 6 months.
Okay. Well, we stand ready to work with the department over the next month through the budget process to try to help as much as that would be possible to make your life easy and get these projects on the street. Senator Bishop, you have a comment?
Wish you the best of luck.
Hey, well, we all do that. So this will conclude the meeting today. I'd like to thank the commissioner for coming forward, his backup for coming forward. He only needed one lifeline. That was good. We have actually high confidence in the commissioner. So we weren't expecting him to need a lot of lifelines. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., the committee will reconvene. We're going to have an important meeting. It's going to be the update of the fiscal position, which is we're going to take a look at, for those watching at home, we're going to take a look at the revenue expected in the next fiscal year and our budgets as presented and amended by the governor and some of the legislation that's passed or is likely to pass the legislature as we take a look at how we're going to meet our obligations, because I think what you're going to see tomorrow is we have more obligations than we have revenue, so we're going to have to prioritize what we do here at the table over the next couple months. So this will start that meaningful process. We will have a revenue update on the 15th of March, which is 2 weeks out. That may give us a little bit more breathing room, but it may not. We'll have to wait and see what that is. It's probably not going to be a hugely significant increase if there is an increase. So we expect an interesting presentation by Legislative Finance tomorrow at 9 a.m. Hopefully we'll have a lot of people pay attention like today on the STIP process because it affects our ability to fund things like the STIP. We are adjourned at 10:47. We are adjourned.